All right, all children 4 years old to 6 years old, if you want to make your way back to the back, Miss Tracy will take you over to Children's Church, 4 years old to 6 year old. The rest of you, if you will, open your Bibles up to James chapter 2. You know, that song kind of says exactly what I want to say in my message today, and that's this: Jesus makes a difference. You know, it doesn't matter where you are in life, Jesus makes a difference. Wherever, whatever obstacle, whatever, wherever you are, good, bad, or somewhere in between, Jesus makes a difference. In James chapter 2, that's the point that James is trying to make as well. What use is it, my brethren, beginning verse 14, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed, and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being of itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one? You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see, that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. You know, several years ago, I am not a commercial watcher. I may have told you that before. A commercial is just a time to see what else is on. You know, remotes are great because as soon as that commercial hits, I'm going somewhere else to see what else is on. But I can remember a time when I did watch commercials, and there is one commercial that I still today, it didn't seem like it had been that long ago because I can remember it like it was yesterday. It was a series of commercials, and one of them, there was this high-pitched little boy, and he's giving his speech to this good-looking girl who's a lot bigger than he is, and he's trying to get her interested, but she has no interest because he is like, she's over here like this while he's over there talking and trying to get her to like him because he's just a runt. Then in another one of the commercials, you got these two bullies, and they come up to this guy, and he's kind of short and all that, and so they're acting like they're fixing to work him over. And he begins to explain, you know, I'm not very big now, but I'm growing. And it shows him change into what he's going to look like when he's 19. And he says, when he's 19, he towers over those two other guys. And he says, you know, I may have forgiven you by then, but I won't have forgotten. And so those two bullies look at each other and decide they're going to do something else. You remember those commercials? Milk does a body good. You know, I said, hey, you drink that milk, you're going to grow up. And what that commercial was saying is if you drink milk, it's going to make a difference in your life, a noticeable difference. Milk will change you. And that man, they became famous. I went back this week on YouTube. You realize it was 1988 when those commercials were showing? I'm like, that seems like 3 years ago. But, I mean, I can remember them 30 years later. Let me tell you what James is trying to say to us in this passage of Scripture. He's trying to make the same declaration that milk product did years ago. And he was saying this: Jesus will change you. Your life will be different when you encounter Christ than it was before. James makes that statement that Jesus makes a dramatic difference in our life. He said it's not enough to claim faith, because he says there will be without a doubt some evidence in your life to real faith. Something substantial in your life that backs up those claims of faith. Faith in Jesus makes a dramatic difference in your life. It's the same claim that Paul said this: if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Paul was saying you're going to be different when you come to Christ. James is saying you're going to be different when you come to Christ. Your faith is going to look different. Faith in Jesus makes a difference. You can't be the same after you encounter Christ. Living faith should produce actions of faith in your life. If there's no actions, according to James, my faith is dead, my faith is powerless, my faith is useless. If there is no evidence by the way I live that Christ is my Lord, something's wrong with my relationship with God. Let me tell you something. How many of you believe Satan is in heaven today? How many of you believe that demons are in heaven today? Well, I want to tell you something very simple fact. The Bible says here, the demons believe in God. The demons believe in God. The demons believe in Jesus. But they're not in heaven. I thought all you had to do was believe. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't that what Scripture says? The demons believe. James is saying belief isn't enough unless that belief produces some action in your life. True faith will change you. True faith will cause some things to happen to you. It starts in you, inside of you, and it's evidenced in the way that you live. Let me tell you something. Head knowledge is not enough. What do I mean by head knowledge? Historical facts. The facts are, and you can go back and look at history, that Jesus lived 2,000 years ago, that they crucified Him. You know, you can go back and find the facts about Jesus. But let me tell you something about those facts. Number one, those facts won't save you. Facts do not save. Satan believes the facts about Jesus. I've already given you the evidence of that. He believes the facts. It's not the facts of His death, His burial, His resurrection that save you. It's faith. It's you acknowledging who He is and making a personal decision to trust Him and what He's done. Not that He did it, but that what He did impacts your life. Big difference. I'm afraid what's going to happen one of these days, we're going to stand in the lines of heaven and people are going to say, well, I believed. Oh, yeah, I knew there was a Jesus that existed. Well, and James is saying right here, what difference did that Jesus make in your life? Because if that Jesus doesn't make a difference in your life, did you really have faith? Faith saves you. Believing the facts can't save you. Believing the facts can't satisfy you. You don't draw strength from facts. You draw strength from a person, Lord, and His name is Jesus, personal Lord. The question arises, and how do I know that my faith is genuine? How do I know that I believe more than facts? How do I know that there's a difference-making faith that shows up in my life? Well, let me tell you, you might want to argue with this, but I think when you go back and look at Scripture, you will find that I'm exactly true in what I'm going to tell you. True faith is going to cause some things to happen. It's going to cause some things. Number one, it's going to cause you to willingly give everything to God. When you see who Jesus is, when you acknowledge that, He's not the neighbor across the street. He is God. And when you come into a relationship with Him and you acknowledge Jesus for who He claims to be and who He is, then you're going to understand, I owe Him everything. Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son, the most important treasure that he had on this earth, for his relationship with God. The disciples, what did they do when they encountered Christ? They left their jobs, they left their families, they left their friends, and they went to become fishers of men because that's what Jesus asked them to do. In Matthew 19:27, Peter had left everything and things were getting hard. And Jesus said, well, what do y'all want to do? Do y'all want to give up and go back? And Peter said this in Matthew 19:27, we've left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? What's left?
Jesus, without you, nothing matters. When you encounter Christ for who he is, you will begin to understand all the things of the world pale in comparison to him. And if that's not good enough for you, look at Matthew 13. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. And a man goes out and he finds that treasure, he buries it, and he goes and he sells everything he owns to buy that piece of property because that treasure is worth everything. And then he goes on to talk about a pearl, and he has the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And he finds one pearl of great value. And he goes and sells everything to buy that one pearl. Over and over again, Scripture reminds us there is nothing more valuable than your faith. And for the sake of your faith, a man should be willing to do whatever it takes to hold on to it. I mean, all across our world today, in Muslim parts of the world, we just finished that Bible study called I Am In. And people are being tortured for their faith. People are watching their children be killed. People are being beaten. And all if they would say one thing, I don't believe. Or I'll take up Allah. I'll follow Allah instead of Christ. If they would just make that one declaration, they would be left alone. And you know what they're saying? No. We won't say it. Because you know what? They have found that pearl of great price. They found that treasure hidden in a field. Faith matters more than life itself to them. James is saying that's the kind of faith we're talking about. You show me your faith. You say you have faith. James is saying, show me your faith. Nothing is more valuable. You know, why are we sometimes hesitant to give everything to God? I think one of the big reasons is we like to be in control. It's our stuff. It's our schedule. It's our life. It's our future. It's our family. And we get that mindset. We've got to take care of all those things because they belong to us. Let me tell you something. No, they don't. You can't take care of those things because they're not yours. One day you'll give them up, whether you like it or not. Because that's the way life is. This life on earth will end, and there is a life greater than this life, and your faith is what gets you home. There's some unwilling to give up a little sleep on Sunday morning to worship and fellowship with God's people, and they might say, I've heard this thing so many times, it kind of grains into me. Well, Sunday's my only day to rest. Let me ask you a question. Where does that put God on the priority scale? What's more important to us than God? Abraham could have said, but God, he's my only son. But instead, you know, he cut the wood, he loaded the donkey, and he started down the road. Because he knew one thing. If God asked me to do something, I may not understand it, but God's smarter than I am. And I'm willing by faith to follow God wherever that road leads. You remember, Abraham wasn't told where he would go. He was just told to go. God's not always going to put, you know, you guys that are going to college, God's not always going to show you tomorrow what you're going to be doing in 4 or 5 years. Lane, you'd make a good dentist. You got pretty teeth. But you know what? God may be a dentist. You may be something else. You just follow God and he'll show you. You know, all you that are graduating, just follow God. He'll show you. You got to go by faith. Life's lived by faith. And true faith will cause you to give up everything to follow God because you know God is right. You know God's got the right plan. Believe. You can look at it as two ways. Be plus live. Something exists inside of me. That's faith. And because of that faith, I choose to live in obedience to God. Faith will cause you to willingly give up everything for God. And secondly, faith will make you acceptable to God. I want you to remember who's writing this. James is the half-brother of Jesus, the church leader in Jerusalem. He'd seen a lot of things. He'd seen a lot of good faith. He'd seen a lot of shallow faith. In the beginning, he watched the deep faith of those believers who gave up their own possessions to take care of the needs of others within the church family. He watched the depth of that giving. But now, near the end of his life, James saw others who maybe had a claim to have a relationship with God, but had no real relationship with him. And you know what he's saying to him? He's saying, you say you have faith. How can anyone tell? You know, what an indictment. You say you have faith, but who would know? James is saying, if you have faith, everyone ought to know. You know, we sang, preach that wonderful name of Jesus. Share that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. That's one way they'll know. But then even in your actions, you know, this can be a pretty confusing passage. Because look at verse 21. Was not Abraham justified by his works when he offered up Isaac? Verse 24. You see a man who is justified by works and not faith alone? Now verse 25. Rahab was considered righteous by what she did. James almost seems to be saying that your faith is not your faith that saves you, but your works. That's almost, Martin Luther had a big problem with this passage. There's scholars debate this all the time. Hey, are we saved by faith or are we saved by works? You read James and you take those few verses right there and you go, woo. It doesn't seem like it's by faith because James seems to make it by works. But Paul, you remember Paul wrote in Romans 3:28, he says, man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. In other words, he's saying it's not what you do, it's what's already been done for you. So you got those two seemingly opposing views. Now let's tie it together here. Well, how does it all work together? Look back at verse 14. Chapter 2, verse 14. What use is it, my brethren? Let's stop there. What use is it, brothers? I think he's talking to believers. And the focus of this passage is proving that a man has faith. It's not that they didn't have faith, but he's telling them, yeah, we're brothers in Christ. Now, because we're brothers, because we are Christians, it needs to show. My faith justifies me before God. It makes me acceptable. But my actions justify me before men. Let your light so shine before others that they see your good works and glorify your Father in men. James is, your Father in heaven. James is saying something very similar to that. He's saying, yes, you have faith that will save you, but others need to see it. And I say to you, brothers, sisters, this morning, faith will save you. But others need to see it. Jesus was saying of his disciples, verse 23, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know what his master is doing, but now I call you my friends because all the Father has shared with me, I have shared with you. When he talked about Abraham, Abraham was a friend of God. Jesus says, I'm your friend. You know what? Build a friendship. And you're there for that friend when they need you. Somebody, you know, you probably all in your life, phone rings at 2 o'clock in the morning and they're in a bind. And they call you. And if they're a good friend, you know what you do? You get up and you go. Because that's what friends do. You know, Jesus is our friend. True faith is not about following a bunch of rules and regulations. It's not about knowing the facts. It's about having a relationship with the Son of God that when he asks you to get up and go serve, when he asks you to be faithful, you don't go, Jesus, it's 2 o'clock. Are you serious? You go, I love you, Lord. Here I am. What do you need from me?
That's a love relationship with Jesus. And that's the kind of thing that the Bible is calling all believers to have. And if you don't have that, James says, listen, your faith is dead. Your faith is worthless. Your faith is useless. What good is your faith to you? What good is your faith to your fellow human beings if that's the kind of relationship you have with me? Faith without works is dead. You know, the bottom line of our relationship with Jesus is that we want to please him. And to continue to live in sin after we have faith, it's almost like the man who is poor, living on the street, and he wins $10 million in the lottery, and he says, I think I'll still live on the street. How senseless is that? How senseless is it for a person of faith to not live by faith? Let me tell you something. Jesus will change your life when you begin to live by faith. The Bible says when people encounter Jesus in faith, and their faith has affected the blind see, the lame walk, the lost are found, the dead are raised, sinners are set free, the saved are serving. You were this and now you're this. Things don't stay the same because Jesus makes a difference. Is Jesus making a difference in your life this morning? Do you have a living, active faith, or is your faith dead, useless, and worthless? Do you have a faith that will save you? Have you gotten past the facts that Jesus lived? Because let me tell you, the demons believe the facts. The facts will send you to hell if you don't have a personal relationship with Christ. There's going to be a lot of people in line one day in heaven when their life is over who knew the facts, but they didn't know Jesus. If Jesus is not making a difference in your life, something's wrong this morning. You know, sometimes our hearts get hard. I'm in control. We don't listen. Let me tell you, you're going to miss God's blessings. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You won't have the abundant life if we're not listening to the Lord. If I cling to my sin, if I live in disobedience, I'm going to miss God's blessings. If I'm saved and satisfied and no longer seeking the next step in God's plan for my life, I'm going to miss some blessings. James says this, show me your faith by your works. With Jesus this morning, as his friend, are you seeking to know him better? What is it that he wants from you? Because you know what? The Bible tells us as a believer, we've been gifted to serve. And every one of us ought to be serving. And James says to the church there at Jerusalem, you're saved. Now show me your faith. I think that's where we all have to get at some point that our salvation means we're on the mission field. There are those that need us. There are those that need us to share the name of Jesus, to preach the name of Jesus, to bless the name of Jesus. This morning, are you an instrument for God to use? Do you know for certain that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You know more than the facts. You know him. Pray with me. Lord, word, a word that could be confusing because we know that it's not our works that save us, but it's what you did on the cross, and we're thankful that you did that for us. Lord, those of us who take your name, we also take your mission to seek and save that which was lost. Help us to be faithful to the task. Lord, help us not to hide the gifts that we've been given, but help us wherever we go to try to make a difference, just as you've made a difference in our life. Lord, if there's anyone here today who doesn't know you as their Savior, maybe they're not sure of their salvation, God, I pray that you would just lay it on their heart to get that right. That it's not about facts, it's about you. Lord, if there's others here today who are Christians, but like the church there that James was addressing, Lord, our faith has grown cold, dead, useless. Lord, I pray that we might be revived, that we might be renewed, we might be reminded of what you desire us to do, to go out and make a difference in this world. Lord, if there's those that need to join this church and plug in and begin to serve, then I just pray for you to speak to their hearts. Lord, as we sing this hymn of invitation, may we listen to you. May we respond as you lead. In Christ's name we pray.